Our gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 15, beginning with verse 10. And it reads, "Then he called the crowd to himself and said to them, 'Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles.' Then the disciples approached and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of blind. And if, any one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' Then he said, 'Are you still without understanding? Do you not see whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. This is what defiles. For out of your heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat what is with unwashed hands does not defile.' Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by demon.' But he did not answer her at all. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away. She keeps shouting after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and she knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' He answered, 'It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs.' She said, 'Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off their master's table.' Then Jesus answered her, 'Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wished.' And her daughter was healed instantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I come to you today with a sermon that asks the question, where was God? Pray with me if you will. Loving God, we come before you now as empty vessels, waiting to be filled by your word. And so we pray, Lord, a prayer blessing upon it, that it will inspire our hearts and minds and give us guidance, direction, and food for thought. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Where was God? Last week, we were blessed with an absolutely wonderful sermon. It talked about the consequences of being brave enough first to have a dream, and then what happens if you try to live into that dream. And as we listen to the story of David, who was labeled a dreamer, the youngest son of Jacob at that particular time, and the encounters that he faced, particularly at the hands of his then 10 older brothers, we learned how when he shared his dream, the dream that God gave him, not one that he made up on his own, instead of it being met with joy and curiosity and enthusiasm, it was met with envy, anger, bitterness, jealousy. So much so to the point that Joseph's brothers decided that we needed to get rid of this dreamer because we're just tired of hearing him talking about how God is going to bless him. And so they plotted and they schemed. And at first, they decided that they were going to kill him. But then as time went on, they decided, okay, well, instead of just killing him and making dad sad, let's just make some money off of him. So they sold him off into slavery to the Ishmaelites. And as the dream, as far as they were concerned, was now being taken away from them, so they no longer have to hear it. The question that comes to my mind is, while all of this was taking place, where was God in the midst of it all? Let's see if we can find the answer to that question. And so the saga continued from there. As Joseph was carried by the Ishmaelites into Egypt, he was then sold to a man named Potiphar. Potiphar was an official in Pharaoh's army who just happened to be the chief commander of the guards. And as Potiphar purchased Joseph and brought him to his home and put him to work as his own personal servant, Joseph, being the type of person he was, did an excellent job. He worked hard. He gained Potiphar's respect to the point that Potiphar had put him in charge of everything in his household. Believing that Joseph had everything under control, he went on about his business, he went to work, and he did what he did. Not be great if the story could stop here by saying, Joseph worked hard, Potiphar rewarded him for his hard work, and he lived happily ever after. But that's not the case. Well, you see, church, while Potiphar was out doing his job, evil found its way into the household. It seems that Potiphar's wife had other plans for Joseph. And so as she looked at this handsome young man, her plans were to have a little fun with him. And so as she made her plans to do these unhealthy, let's just say not nice things with him, Joseph realized what was going on. And so as all of her attempts to get him into bed failed, Joseph stood firm and kept holding on and saying no. Well, this frustrated her a lot, to the point where she decided, you know what? If I can't have what I want, nobody will. So she came up with this elaborate scheme that got Joseph arrested. All of the evidence was against him, and he ended up in prison. Joseph had done no wrong, and yet he found himself locked up like a common criminal. Where was God while all of this was going on? Continuing, while Joseph was in prison, he did what he did. He was a nice young man, he worked hard, and he was respectful. He earned the respect of the guards, so much so to the point where they allowed him freedoms to work around the prison and to do things that the average, ordinary person would not be allowed to do. And as time went on, he continued to live out his sentence in prison. He encountered two new people, Pharaoh's cupbearer and his baker. They were put in prison because they did something that did not quite agree with what Pharaoh had in mind for them. And so the king sent them off to think about what they had done. Well, the scripture tells us that one night while they were sleeping, the cupbearer and the baker both had dreams. They woke up the next morning and they were disturbed by it. Joseph noticed this and he said to them, "Why are you so dejected? What's the matter? Why are you so sad?" And they both said, as if they had rehearsed it in song, "We had both had a dream, and we have no one to interpret it for us. This dream is disturbing us. It's bothering us." Well, without going into all the details, Joseph was able to interpret their dreams for them. And as fate would have it, he interpreted the dreams correctly. The cupbearer was restored to his place of nobility as being the one who would hand the king his drink at every meal, and the baker was put to death. Upon their release, Joseph turned to the cupbearer, and he said to him, "Remember me when you stand before the king." Well, I guess the cupbearer was so glad to be out of prison that he forgot this conversation that he had with Joseph, and he also forgot Joseph. Continuing on with the story, as Joseph remained in prison, where was God in the midst of all of this? Well, as time moved on, Pharaoh himself started having these really strange dreams, and they kept reoccurring night after night. And then he had a second dream, which he also didn't understand. And finally, in his frustration, he says, "This is driving me nuts. I can't sleep. I don't know what this is all about." So he called together all of the magicians and the scholars and the dream interpreters from out that area, through all over Egypt. And he said, "Somebody's got to tell me what this is all about." But much to his dismay, no one was able to figure out what it was that he was dreaming about. And so finally, what ended up happening was the cupbearer finally remembered Joseph. And he said, "Okay, I know a young man who interpreted dreams for us. Maybe he can do it for you." So they sent for Joseph. And sure enough, Joseph was able to accurately interpret the dream, telling him that there are going to be 7 years of prosperity, followed by 7 years of famine. Pharaoh, being so grateful that his dream was finally interpreted, rewarded Joseph and made him the number two person in his kingdom, second only to himself. Well, as time went on, he began to gain more favor and more power and more notoriety within all of that. Well, as it said in the scriptures, the famine continued on. And 2 years into the famine, which had reached far beyond Egypt, and had gone to the place where Joseph's father and mother and brothers were still living, one day, Joseph looked up, and who did he see coming looking for food? His 10 brothers, the ones that had rejected him, the ones that had tormented him and sold him off into slavery, the ones that wrote him off as a no good dreamer that was trying to cause problems within the family household. And as they stood and asked for food, at some point later on, they did discover that Joseph was their brother. And so, church, once again, I ask the question, where was God in the midst of all of this? Where was God while all of this was taking place? It's time to answer that question. Here it is. God was right in the midst of it all. For you see, church, when Joseph's brothers were in the process of rejecting him and trying to get rid of the dreamer by deciding to kill him, God was there to change their hearts and minds so that his life would be spared and he would just simply be set off on another mission that God had planned and orchestrated for him. Amen? Amen. Where was God when Potiphar's wife was making a decision to do the wrong thing for the wrong reason? God was right there, standing with Joseph, making sure that he did not make a wrong decision and allow himself to get sucked into that temptation of lust. Amen?
Amen.
Where was God when Joseph was in prison, serving time for a crime he didn't commit, where he could have gotten angry and bitter and just wrote everything off? God was right there, encouraging him to stay calm and to stay focused and to help him so that he might help others, though he himself was in a dismal estate. And as a result of all of that, he was granted his freedom. Amen? Where was God when Joseph rose into a position of power and authority, and he could make decisions of who gets to eat and who goes hungry, when his brothers, who had tormented him and rejected him, came begging for food? Instead of giving in to the temptation and human desires to tell his brothers where to go and how to get there, and I don't care why you're here because of what you did to me, not only did he give them food, but he also brought his whole family into Egypt and gave them a comfortable place to live. Church, God was right there all along that journey, guiding him, instructing him, giving him the strength and protection that he needed so that he would not get caught up in all of the things that were going on around him. But it wasn't just about God. Joseph also had to play a part in that as well. For you see, as God was there giving him all the things that he needed to go from one place to the next, or help him to make the decisions, as God opened up the doors for him to go left or right, Joseph had to do his part. And his part was to listen to what God had to say so that he would be able to do what was right in God's eyes and not what we desire in our own hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Think about it, church. Taking that last example, how many of us who, after having been rejected and beaten and threatened to be killed and then eventually sold into slavery, would have told those who did that to us, take the food that you want and now come live in my home? Most of us would have responded in a human manner and said, ha, good for you, get away from me. And yet, this is what it means when we have to make those decisions. This is what it's like when we have to do our part in being in that. So where is God in your lives today, church? Where is God when you are going through your own challenges, your own troubles, when temptation is flying all around you, when problems are mounting up all around you, when issues and concerns and worries are just gripping at you? Where is God when you're going through your times of depression, when injustices are happening all around you? Where is God in the midst of all of this? The answer, church, is God is right here with you, giving you the strength to endure those situations that we are not strong enough to endure. Amen?
Amen.
God is right here with you, giving you guidance when you don't know what next to do and where to go and which way to turn. He's the one that's opening those doors for us. He's the one who protects us from all hurt and harm and danger and things that we can see and things that we know about and things that we don't even know is happening around us. God has already protected us in advance. But again, it's not just God and us alone. We also have to do our part. We have to choose to listen to what God has to say. But not only that, church, we also have to follow what God has to say. Amen?
Amen.
I go back to my usual example, my go-to story, and that's the one about when me and my doctor have our conversations. He tells me all the things I need to do to be healthy and to live to be 100. And then after I leave his office, he doesn't go home with me. He's the one who's given me all the instructions that I need, and it's up to me to follow it. Church, where is God in your lives today? The answer is, he's right here with you, giving you all the things that you need to make the right decisions, to go in the right places, and to do all the right things. But it's up to us to decide whether we're going to listen and follow God or not. Church, let the truth be told. It is so easy to get caught up in the popular voices of this day, to hear what society is telling us to do, to hear what the world is saying is okay, and yet, at the end of it all, it's up to us to decide to ignore those voices and to do things that God wants us to do, and to do them the way that God wants us to do them. Looking back for a brief moment on our gospel reading from today, Jesus gives us some examples of exactly what he's talking about with that. He says that in the midst of it all, there are things that are going to float around from person to person, and we have to decide what we're going to do with it. The things that he specifically talked about was that he said in his parable, bringing it into modern day time, he said, when people come around you with things like gossip and lies and rumors and negative views about things or the people around you, what will you do with that? Will you allow it to guide you? Will you allow it to become a part of you? Will you allow it to be the thing that helps you make up your mind about someone? Or will you dismiss all of that and hear what God has to say? When we encounter a stranger on the street, God tells us, if I'm not mistaken, there's a scripture that says, love your fellow human being the way you love yourself. Is that right, church?
Amen.
I don't remember it saying, pick and choose who you might like and who you don't like because they make enough money or look like you or walk like you or talk like you or educated like you're educated. It says, love your fellow human being for who they are. And what are they? A child of God. And nothing short of that. Amen?
Amen.
And yet, Jesus warned us. In that scripture, his exact words were, for out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adulterous, fornication, theft, and false witness, and slander. These are things that we need to pull away from. Church, what comes out of our mouths represents what's in our heart. And so let love come out of your hearts. Where is God in the midst of all these things? Where is God when you meet somebody along the way who's struggling, who's challenged, whose walk of life has taken them to a place where they didn't want to be, they didn't choose to be, had no desire to be, and yet they're in front of us today. Where is God in the midst of that? My prayer is that he's helping us to make our decisions on how to receive that person with love. And so, church, as we close, the question that we've been asking throughout the entire sermon is, where is God in the midst of all of the decisions that we make? But the reality, the real question that we should be wrestling with is, are you willing to listen to God when the voices of this world are trying to lead you astray? Are you willing to hear beyond your natural ears and listen with your heart what God has to say? Church, I leave you with that question to wrestle with. And I challenge you to allow God's presence in your life to be your guide, to be your inspiration, to be the focal point on how you make your decisions. And then what you'll discover is that it'll change your entire outlook on how you approach the things in this world. And so, church, are you up to this challenge of allowing God to be the one to guide you as opposed to what society is telling you is okay to do? Do you think you can handle it, church?
Amen.
Hmm? Okay, now I heard some yes and I heard some I heard some not quite sure. And that's okay, because I'll tell you one more thing and I'll close with this. It is not going to be an easy challenge, because every time you say, it's okay, I love that person because they are who they are, somebody's going to come along and say, no, 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 you shouldn't love them because. And yet, where is God in the midst of that? Answer is giving you the strength to hold fast to what you know is right. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being ever present and an ever-presence in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for giving us that inspiration that we need to make it from one day to the next. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.